In high school and in college, among the various jobs that I held to make my way through was teaching Hebrew school. And much of the Hebrew school curriculum, because it wasn't then called religious school, it was then called Hebrew school, much of the Hebrew school curriculum was about the various sufferings of the Jews. When we taught our history, we taught our history in terms of the terrible things that had happened to us. And the teachers were aware of this, and we used to tell each other the joke of the kid who was absent from Hebrew school because he was homesick, and his brother came home, and he said to his brother, "You know, I was sick and I missed Hebrew school today. What country did we get kicked out of?" Because that was the curriculum. On Tuesday, we got kicked out of France. On Thursday, we were kicked out of Spain, and be here Sunday so that you can find out what country we got kicked out of next. And as a people who has suffered so much from hatred, and I think per capita, per number of Jews in the world, we certainly couldn't be bested in the race for who has been hated the most. We ought to turn ourselves, particularly as we approach Pesach, to the question of whether it is ever permissible and even good to hate. Most people will tell you that hatred is destructive, that it tears away at the heart of the one who hates, that if you return hatred with love, hatred will disappear. And by the way, there is a lot of the Jewish tradition that would endorse that view. If you look up Jewish sources on hatred, you get quotes like, "Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha," you shouldn't hate your brother in your heart. Rabbi Elazar in the Talmud has a beautiful prayer, "May no hatred of us rise in any heart, and no hatred of others rise in our own hearts." "Hasone et chaveiro," one who hates someone else, says the Talmud, "hare ze mishofchei damim." To hate someone else is to be a murderer. These are pretty powerful statements against hatred. And not, by the way, only about what it does to the other person, but the Rokeach in a medieval book on morals has this lovely phrase: "Hatred ruins the taste of food, disturbs our sleep, and destroys reverence of soul." When you hate, even your food doesn't taste good. You can't eat dinner. That's right. Thank you. Next time I'm going to call you first. Mipi olim v'yonkim yisalata oz. Do you know that phrase? "From the mouths of babes and sucklings, God has founded strength." And most powerful of all, that I found in some research on the comments of our tradition with regard to hatred, is this comment from Psikta Zutarti, another rabbinic work: Kol misha hu sonel adam, anybody who hates another human being, ki ilu sonel lemi sheomar v'haya ha'olam. It's as if he hates the one who created the world. But there are countervailing comments as well. There are hints in our tradition that hatred is not always and entirely a negative force in the world. When we are told, for example, that the temple was destroyed because of sinat chinam, causeless hatred, that suggests that it is possible to hate with cause. Doesn't say the temple was destroyed because of hatred. It says hatred for no reason, which tells you there must be such a thing as hatred with reason. Each year on the Passover Seder, what do? We get up and we open the door and we say, "Shvoch chamatcha el hagoyim," asher lo yedaucha. Pour out your wrath on the nations that didn't know you and destroyed the habitations of Jacob. In other words, God, revenge us on the enemies who destroyed Jewish bodies and Jewish souls. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his dwelling. Now, this is an expression, in one way or another, of the kind of rage that is almost synonymous with hatred. It's hard because it depends what you mean by hate. But if by hatred you mean, and I think we do, the relentless driving anger, the bitterness, the fury that wishes to ensure that someone else be gone. That's what you're feeling when you say Shmoch Hamadcha. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a part or all of Claude Lanzmann's documentary Shoah. But there is one line that everyone who sees that documentary ends up quoting. It is from a survivor of the resistance in the Warsaw Ghetto. He says, "If you could lick my heart, it would poison you." He is so bitter and so full of hate. And I wonder if we can think of that as wrong. Is it healthy to have merited hatred? So I want to suggest that it is possible that, in fact, hatred of evil is not just permissible but good. That far from being small-minded, hatred of evil is a kind of tribute to the humanity of those who do evil. After all, if you get bitten by a dog, you don't hate the dog. Not the way you hate a human being who does evil, because to hate someone is to pay tribute to their ability to choose, to the fact that they're not just destructive, but they are evil. Animals aren't evil. They may be destructive, they may be dangerous, but they're not evil, because evil is a moral category. And the expression of evil in this world evokes our hatred. It's easy to sit at home in a safe place, in a comfortable chair, and open the door and deplore this idea that we should say, "Pour out your wrath." But this healthy hatred was the only revenge our ancestors could take. That was all they had to respond to those who murdered them and ransacked their towns and killed their children and burned their homes and synagogues. Sometimes hatred is the only way of evoking the passion that is required to fight evil. I don't usually quote Confucius in sermons, but he was a very wise man, and when someone once asked him, "Should we repay hatred with love?" his answer was quite different from the answer of the founder of Christianity. When someone said to Confucius, "Should we repay hatred with love?" he said, "Then with what will you repay love?" Is it our obligation to feel the same about those who hate us and those who love us? It doesn't make sense. And yet, hatred, like any passion, is dangerous. It can do great harm, but most of the harm in this world is not done by hatred. It's done by indifference. It's done by neglect. It's done by closing our eyes. If people hated more, it would be better. In many ways, we, a couple of nights ago here at the synagogue, had an evening to protest genocide in Darfur. The vast majority of people in this community were indifferent. They didn't show up. We had a few hundred people. We should have had a few thousand. If you hated the destruction of human life, you would have been here. It is indifference and not hatred that threatens to overwhelm us. And when hatred of good is met with hatred of evil, it is a much more effective response than staying home and locking your doors. What would we think of a Jewish tradition that never opened its door to say, we are furious with this world and angry at it, and those who have destroyed our people, we hate you? Would we really think it would be a healthier tradition if they kept the door closed and cowered inside? Now, having said that, I want to acknowledge that that's not the noblest reaction. The noblest reaction is to be one of those rare souls who is able to fight hatred with full passion without himself or herself being consumed by hate. Because after all, when I think of that man in Lanzmann's documentary who said, if you licked my heart, it would poison you, I think he leads a miserable life. I understand why he hates, but it consumes his soul. And the truth is that to battle against hatred without losing your soul to hatred is the best one can hope for, but it is difficult to achieve. And in order to mobilize our forces of conscience, we have to move out of indifference. Shlomo Carlbach, after the Second World War, when he was traveling around the world and leading services and songs for Jews and non-Jews, went to Germany. And when someone asked him, how can you go to Germany? Don't you hate the Germans for what they did? He said, if I had two souls, I would hate the Germans. But since I only have one, I don't want it to be consumed by hatred. So that's the question. Can you fight what is evil without being a hater? It is possible that we can't, in which case it is better to fight evil and hate it than to ignore it. It is not incumbent upon a human being to be a tzaddik. Not everybody has to reach a level of exalted righteousness. But it is incumbent upon us not to be indifferent. If you open the door on Pesach and you say Shvoch Chamatcha, and there does not rise in you a certain revulsion and anger at the evil of the world, then the Pesach Seder has failed. There are people in the world who need your anger, and even, at times, our hatred. However, ultimately, of course, that's not the final legacy. The reason we opened the door is not to scream at the world alone, but to usher in the Messiah. That is, we believe that our battle against evil is not forever. And one day, when the door is open, instead of pouring out our wrath, Elijah will walk in. Until that moment, We have no right to be tepid, to be lukewarm, to be indifferent. When people are being slaughtered, we should hate the evil that does this to them. When they're being oppressed, we should hate the oppression. When they are crying out, we should not be silent. Remember that the Pesach is a festival not of freedom alone, but of freedom to serve God. And we serve God when we bring all of ourselves, our passion, our love, our hate, our anger, our joy, to the task which is as yet uncompleted, L'taken olam b'malchut Shaddai, to fix God's world under God's kingdom, so that one day, when we open the door, Elijah will walk in to announce the end of human suffering, and we will know at last, after millennia of wandering, that we have come home. Shabbat Shalom.